scripture from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 5, 1-6. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to the Pharaoh. They told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness. "Is this so?" retorted the Pharaoh. "And who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." But Aaron and Moses persisted. "The God of the Hebrews have met with us," they declared. "So let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with a plague or with a sword." Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their task? Get back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from the work." That same day, Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and to the Israelite foremen. "Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make these people get it themselves. But still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go offer sacrifices to our God.' Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies." So the slave drivers and foremen went out to the and told the people, "This is what the Pharaoh says. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go and get it yourselves. Find it wherever you can, but you must produce as many bricks as before." So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt in search of stubble to use as straw. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continued to push hard. "Meet your daily quota of bricks, just as they told you we provided you with straw," they demanded. Then they whipped the Israelite foremen they had put in charge of the work crews. "Why haven't you met your quotas, either yesterday or today?" they demanded. So Israelite foremen went to Pharaoh and pleaded with him. "Please don't treat your servants like this," they begged. "We are given no straw, but the slave drivers still demand, 'Make bricks.' We are beaten, but it isn't our fault. Your own people are to blame." But Pharaoh shouted, "Oh, you're just lazy. Lazy. That's what you're saying. Let us go and offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now get back to work. No straw will be given to you, but you still must produce the full quota of bricks." The Israelite foreman could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, "You must not reduce the number of bricks you have to make each day." They left the Pharaoh's court. They confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said to them, "May the Lord judge you and punish you for making us stink before the Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword in their hands, an excuse to kill us." Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, "Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you've done nothing to rescue him." Then the Lord told Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land."
Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So you know what a yoke is? You know what that's referring? What is it? What's a yoke? No, not quite. So when oxen, when they would yoke oxen to a wagon, they had this M-shaped thing. It was made out of wood, and it fit over the shoulders of the oxen. So there'd be one oxen here, and then another oxen here. And this yoke attached to straps and a bar that goes back to the wagon and so forth. So picture Jesus saying to you, of all the yokes that you could put on your shoulders, and a yoke would be any sort of responsibility or burden or stress even that you might carry in this life would be a yoke in this context. And he says, mine, by comparison with all the yokes that you could wear, is light. You're going to see it's this pertinence of this particular text to our lesson in a little while. Israel, at the time of the text that Rich read to us, doesn't know that promise yet. But they felt hopeless and helpless as they worked as slaves under Pharaoh. Their time in Egypt began during a famine in the Middle East. And at that point, Israel was just Jacob and his 12 sons. That was it. And this famine strikes, and they start looking for food, obviously, and there's lots of food in Egypt. Well, Egypt is just around the corner, geographically, around the Mediterranean. And so it's a fairly easy walk from Israel, from Canaan, where they live, down to Egypt. And they go down there looking for food. Well, the reason what they don't know is that Joseph, the brother that they hated and that they also sold into slavery, already lives in Egypt. That's where he ended up. And not only that, but he ends up as second in the court of Pharaoh, second in command. And so when they go to Egypt to find food, they're actually going to their brother. And they don't know that. Well, they take up residence in Egypt because of Joseph. They prosper there. They grow from 12 to really a nation of people. Obviously, that took generations for that to happen. But things changed because Joseph died, Jacob died, the 12 sons, the 12 original, all died. Now it's their generations later, and they're under the rule of a Pharaoh that doesn't know their story. He doesn't know who these people are, really. All he knows is that he's threatened by how large they have become, and he's afraid that they're going to take over. So then in Exodus chapter 1, you read this. In time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. A new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. This Pharaoh said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel outnumber us. We'll just make a plan to keep them from growing even more." So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with brutal labor. And that's where our lesson begins. Well, Walter Brueggemann, in his devotional reflection on this text, says this. Moses' imperative, an imperative is a command, do this, find that, make that. He says, this Pharaoh said to his, Moses' imperative to let my people go to Pharaoh evokes from Pharaoh a rash of new imperatives, of new commands for greater production. I have concluded that with little finesse it is possible to identify 10 urgent commands that Pharaoh makes to the people of Israel. 10 commands of production there that are alternative to the Ten Commandments of God. I want to spend some time thinking about that. I want you to think about the empire. I want you to think about the culture that we live in. I want you to think about the government that we're under, the work that we perform as being empire. And what are the commands of that empire? What do they call forth from us? Think in terms of what Amanda faces every Monday morning when she goes to work, or what what Matt faces when he goes out to the UC to work every day. My intention is to look at the Ten Commandments of Pharaoh, and that's our first slide there. And I want you to think in terms, these don't, by the way, these don't correspond exactly. I just kind of want you to look at them thematically. But look at the Ten Commandments of Pharaoh. I will not let Israel go. Why are you taking the people away from work? Get to your labors, a command. You shall no longer give people straw to make bricks. You shall require of them the same number of bricks. Let heavier work be laid on them. Go and get straw. Complete your work. Beat the supervisors. You're lazy. They've put a sword in their hand to kill us. That's kind of the spirit, the imperatives of Pharaoh. What are contemporary versions of that? How do you hear that same sort of thing being said today in our culture? So Israel had a history of drifting away from God, and the period of the Exodus was one such times. When Moses first encounters God, God introduces himself to Moses, and he says, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Why did God have to do that? Why did God have to introduce himself? And then when God explains to what he wants, Moses asks him, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name?" So Moses is saying, not even my people know who you are. This is a God who has been with them, who has blessed them, who has helped them at every turn, and yet they don't know him. And so the second slide. This is really the world that the Israelites were part of. These are all representations of the different kinds of gods that they would have worshipped in Egypt. There was the god of writing named Sheshat, or Hathor, the god of music, or Neith, the god of war, or Bat, the goddess of fertility, and on they go. 2,000 or 3,000 gods in all. Well, Israel doesn't know their own God. They don't know Yahweh. And so Israel is saying, who is this God that has sent you, Moses, to us? There's simply no room, however, in service to God for this collection of gods up here. God does not allow that. And, you know, I know that you and I don't have one of these gods sitting on our mantle at home, but today these would turn into music and art and commerce and sex and security and family and television, and there's a million gods that we are tempted to worship. And so there's a contemporariness of this to the world that we live in now. Before the family of Jacob moved to Egypt, the Pharaoh at that time began to acquire land and resources. As the drought deepened, the people became more and more dependent on the government, and Pharaoh was treated as a god. And so you have the children of Israel move to Egypt and begin really to worship Pharaoh as a god. That's how the people of Egypt were taught. And you think about today, you think about how many contemporary leaders worldwide want their nations to treat them as gods. They may not use those words, but they ask for that kind of allegiance. do as I say, trust me, do what I tell you to do. It's fairly common. And sometimes we see it in our own country. So Pharaoh, in the midst of the drought, takes possession of everything. He takes food, land, crops, animals. And the Israelites eventually experience the implications of this when this new Pharaoh says, look, the Israelites outnumber us. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. And he demonstrates his fear, and it results in his trying to control Israel because of his fear of them, and he does it by refusing them to give them a reprieve from their work, increasing the demands of production, and becoming abusive and violent toward the people. So, you know, there's some places that this, incidentally, this is not a sermon about work. I'm just using these as kind of to illustrate what was going on here, but it's like putting meters on your employees and demanding that they meet a certain sort of work and production quota through that metering. I went to my annual tax appointment in April. No, well, actually, it was in February or March. And my accountant was telling me about the new tax laws and what the implications were for my 2018 taxes. One of them was that my contributions would no longer be tax deductible. Well, you know, of course, you know, some people will argue larger deductions, you know, at the front end, okay. But the net effect is I pay more. So she says, people with more income would tend to receive less in the way of deductions, followed by, she said this, the government is not your friend. Well, like we didn't already know that, but the government is not your friend. Israel needed to learn that. And yet we continue to worship at the altar of government and expect that we will be treated humanely, compassionately, and with generosity. And it's one of the things that I want to tell some of the people in Congress is that don't you understand that you can't say I'm allegiant to God while doing some of the things that you're doing. They are mutually exclusive ideas. Pharaoh acted like a type A personality. He said, you can't take people away from their work, get back to your labors, you're just lazy, that's why you're wanting to go out into the wilderness to worship. And living in Egypt was like living in a sweatshop. People did not have time to rest, they did not have time to recoup lost energy, to refresh their minds. They came back to work each and every next day, exhausted and dreading work because of the labor that they had been suffering under. Rich and Janelle took a mental health day and went to the beach on Friday. You know, Pharaoh would never allow that to happen. So, all of this is not unlike buying a car you can't afford, or purchasing more house than you should, having no time for enjoyment or rest. And so slide number three, this is the last of the slide, but it's really kind of like this. I think it, and one of the things that I think that Brueggemann was saying is that this is what Pharaoh wanted from the people. Where is the opportunity to be still and know that I'm the Lord in this kind of life? Where's the time for family? Where's the time for quality relationships? Where's the time for ministry and coffee and fishing and all of that in this kind of world? So we began the sermon with a statement of Jesus to the effect that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Pharaoh world was 2,000 gods. And if you knew anything about the Egyptian gods or the Greek gods, they were all capricious, argumentative, demanding, ungracious in their treatment of mankind. These gods are relentless and unyielding in their treatment of humanity. And yet, the irony is that we human beings worship these gods. We keep going back to these gods. Jesus says, I want you to understand that my yoke is easier. Can you go back to that first slide? Just kind of a reminder slide. And that is, over here on the left, you have produce more, you're lazy, that's why you want to go away. Give them less straw, don't make work easier for them. And then over here, you have God saying, don't have any other gods. I'm enough. I'll take care of you. Remember the Sabbath. Take time to rest. Don't covet. Because coveting does is put you on that wheel when you want to have what everybody else has. Which God or gods would you rather live under? That's really kind of the point of the whole sermon. Which one, which side do you want to live under? This side requires some discipline and some intention, because then you have to start making some decisions about what you're going to serve. And I think that's the real point of the lesson, is to think about empire, to think about Pharaoh, and what form Pharaoh takes in our own lives today. Which side would you like to live under? Let's pray. Dear Father, we know that this world does not care about our well-being. Neither does the government or business or Facebook or 1,000 other potential gods that we might worship. Please help us to see these false gods that present themselves to us for worship. Give us strength to worship only you and carry only your light burden. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.